You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
The fall season. And when you think about, going back to school, now a lot of us aren't going back to school. I'm not going back to school. I've had enough of that for now. But nonetheless, just think of the feelings of your first day back to school, or thinking of your feelings, at a new school maybe. Maybe you've transitioned, and even if you used to, the university life, maybe you transitioned from one university to another and you got to start over. There's a little bit of apprehension. I've got a picture here of a little boy in the next slide, off to school. You can just imagine he's got his lunch in his hand. And, what is going through his mind right now? Maybe this is his first day at a new school, possibly. And you can just, think of yourself. I don't know your situation. I don't know where you went to school. Maybe you didn't go to school. You need to go to school. But you probably went to school. So whatever that was, there's kind of these feelings, and maybe there's some anxiety, but maybe some, happiness, some excitement, depending on your personality. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter whether or not we're physically going back to school this fall. The fact of the matter is life goes on. Life goes on, and we're always, in one way or another, going back to school. Here's what Jesus said about this in Luke 6:47 and through 49. He said, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose, the stream burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." I see two things from what Jesus was saying here is he used the word everybody. 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 This story of building a house in a storm and things like it is for everybody. Notice it doesn't say if a storm comes. If a storm comes to your life. If you're going to have to, in a sense, go back to school. It's not if. He didn't say if. He said when. You see, the storms of life, the trials of life, things come in our life. And they're inevitable. The question is, what did we learn when we were in our time of school, of God's school of learning? Because if we learn right, then when the storms come, yes, they'll hit us. Absolutely. But the difference is that there'll be something in our foundation, there'll be something where when that storm comes, we'll be able to stand and not be shipwrecked, not be utterly destroyed because of it. And here's the thing. You can spend your life trying to avoid the challenges of life or running away from them. Maybe, your situation gets tough in one town or something. You think, well, I just moved to another town. Here's the problem with that. You bring yourself with you. You see, because our issues aren't really out there as much as they are issues of the heart. When we talk about follow the call and helping people find the call of God in their life and finding and discovering God, it's not about so much about a place. It's about the discovery on the inside of each one of us. And so here we're going to look at a couple things of just what it really means to go back to school and what about these challenges and what can we do. Now look, I'm older than most everybody in here, okay? So this is going to be sort of like a dad talking to kids. In other words, what I'm saying this morning, I just want to share my heart with you. I just want to share my heart of a couple things that I found that in this school of life, some things that we need to learn and some things that I believe that the Lord would have us develop on the inside. Just a few things here. That these are like some back to school lessons. If I said all of the things I've learned, it'd be a longer list, but we only have a 30-minute sermon, and so let me give you three. I'm going to give you this. These are lessons. Give a little extra, establish good habits, and know who you are. Give a little extra, establish good habits, and know who you are. So when these challenges, when the back to school situations come into your life, I'm going to just hit briefly on each of these points this morning. So the first one, give a little extra. Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 10, he said, "The one who's faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, And he who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. And we pointed out in previous messages that being faithful doesn't mean just being the bare minimum. It's kind of this idea sometimes people have that, well, you know, I went to work from 9 to 5 and I did the bare minimum, so I was faithful. Faithful, that's not faithful. It's a measure of faithful. It's not the fullness of what Jesus talked about being faithful. Jesus talked about the fullness of being faithful is taking the talents that you have been given and multiplying them and growing them. That's what it means to be faithful with the investment. And so whatever the gifts and the talents that we have been given, faithfulness has to do with developing them. And so when I think about my own life, I just think of so many times that it's like, it's a wall, I'm tired or whatever. And then there's something that just tells me, from I believe the Spirit of God, that said, just give a little extra. Just give a little extra. Just hang in there. Just don't stop. Just keep going. That little extra. We're tempted to do the bare minimum just to get through the day. But if we'll just dig down and ask God for His help and His grace to give that little extra, it'll make so much difference in our lives. I don't know how many of you are following the Toronto Blue Jays right now, but they're like doing amazing. Like they had like I think the 24 wins and 4 losses or something in the month of August, something like that. It was like one of their best Augusts. You know, they got some amazing players. I think I got a slide of our beloved Blue Jays right here, and our new pitcher and things like that. And they're just really doing great, and it's fun to watch. The stadium is being packed out and things like that. And then there's one particular player that's getting a lot of focus. So you didn't know you were going to learn about baseball. And this here, I don't know, who knows who this is here? Josh Donaldson. So he's, you know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, he needs to be the MVP of Major League Baseball this year. And so he's just an amazing player, and the batting and his third base play and everything is just amazing this year. Josh Donaldson has a .301 batting average. Isn't that amazing? So half of you are looking, what is that? Okay, so what is that? A .301 batting average. You see, in baseball, it's .301. It's another way to say a percentage. It's like 30.1% of the times when he gets up to bat, he makes a hit and gets on base. Either a single or a double, that means to second base, a triple to third base, or a home run. That means over the fence, out of the park, nailed it. So any of those is called a hit, okay? So, and Josh Donaldson, one out of three times, gets a hit. So 30%. And so he's in the running for the MVP. Now, there's other things, too. He's a clutch hitter. That means that when there's runners on base and he scores at key times and he, you know, so there's other things. So batting average is only one of the things that makes a great player. But here's an amazing thing. We have high regard for anyone who has a 300 or greater batting average. I mean, if you have that your whole career, you know, you might make the Hall of Fame. But here's what's interesting. You know, we're talking about giving a little bit more, this lesson in life, going back to school, giving that little extra. We have a high regard for a batting average of 300. But here's the thing. Someone with a 200 batting average, .200, you say, well, you know, that's a terrible bat. That's mediocre in the major leagues. I mean, if you only have a 2 batting average, I mean, that's not really that good. But here's the thing. The difference between someone with a 300 batting average and someone with a 200 batting average, do you realize that they share 90% of the results are the same? Only 10% of the time something different happens at bat. To be able to see that difference, you'd have to see someone get up the bat about 10 times and he would get one more hit. Now, the good batters put them in a row, and so it seems, so a 300, they have 90% of their results in common, 10% different. Back in our church in Cape Town, where Richard's from, there was a lady, Marianne, and she trained for the Olympics. And I can remember talking to Marianne, and she had not quite made the Olympics 1 year, and she realized she was a backstroker, and she realized she had to make a decision. Am I going to train for 4 more years? And what she had to do is train 8 to 10 hours a day for 4 more years, and I think she said she had to take 0.4 of a second off her time to be able to be in Olympic contention. And so she did it. For 4 years, she trained again and then won a bronze medal in the Olympics. That was how a little extra can make a big difference. Maybe you're not an Olympic swimmer, maybe you're not a batter like Josh Donaldson, but in everything, that little extra can mean everything. I love this quote by Nelson Mandela, former president of South Africa. He said, running taught me valuable lessons. He was a cross-country runner in high school. And he said, running taught me valuable lessons. In cross-country competition, training counted more than intrinsic ability, and I could compensate for a lack of natural aptitude with diligence and discipline. I applied this in everything I did. And so there's something about giving a little extra, and I believe that with God's help, this isn't just about human effort. This is the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Acts 1:8 that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That word in the Greek is the word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. And from that, it's like God is asking us, can you dig down and trust me for that little extra and for that in all areas of your life, whether it's in your workplace, in your family, and whatever it is, that little extra. And so, for those of you I know that are on Twitter and Facebook, you want to tweet something about this sermon, here's one for you can tweet for at Bert Thompson. It's the little extra that sets you apart. And so this is the tweetable moment of the sermon. Secondly, establishing good habits. Gretchen Rubin in the Happiness Project, very successful books and seminars, said, what we do every day matters more than what we do once in a while. What we do every day matters more than what we do once in a while. You know, I learned this lesson from my dad. My dad passed away 3 years ago, and he became a Christian at age 26, my dad. And just stay right there. Don't go ahead. You're losing my punchlines here. From that point, he lived one of the most consistent lives of anyone I've ever met. He wasn't a perfect dad, but he loved the Lord. He was not derailed by fads and chasing vain things. He worked faithfully as a millwright in the pulp and paper industry for 40-plus years. He always attended our sports activities, hockey coach. He attended and served in the same church. He got saved in this little church in our small town when he was 26 years old, and then he served faithfully in that same church for 60 straight years. He gave his tithe there for 60 years. He served as children's teacher and then deacon and elder and preached when the pastor was away. Did whatever needed. He really believed, as Eugene Peterson put it, a long obedience in the same direction. But what gave my dad consistency in other areas of life was one spiritual habit that he worked into his life after he became a Christian at 26. And let me demonstrate for you what my dad did every single day that I can remember as a kid. And when my dad was already, he started work early, usually before we went to a school. But this is what I saw. I didn't always see my dad, but this is what I saw as an image left behind at the breakfast table after my dad left for work. Was this. A plate. There's actually a toaster in there, but I didn't have time to set it up. Toast. Raspberry jam, usually. Sometimes strawberry. And sometimes local honey. Black coffee. Every day. A couple cups of it. Like this. And then, always, his open Bible. This was a habit. And even if he switched off the toast and the jam and the coffee, this part here was an absolute habit. just reading God's word every day. Every day. Every day. Just reading it. And when he was in the hospital 3 years ago in British Columbia and I visited him, I was in the hospital. He was on his last days. I said, "Hey, Dad, do you want me to read the Bible?" He said, "Yeah, it's on the side. I'm in chapter 6 right now." He knew exactly on his plan where he was and picked it up. You know, there's something about habit that we've been put into our lives. And it's not easy to establish habit. If you've ever tried to break a bad habit, think about habits like biting your nails or something like that. You don't even know you're doing it. Like, it's not something you're like, you know, I know that my wife sometimes will point out, "Why are you tapping? Or why are you doing that? You know, you got an anxious habit or something like that." Whenever you're anxious, you know, I have a little motion I do. "Why are you doing that? You're doing what? Why do you got this bad habit?" But in the same way, you know, when we go back to school, I believe that there's something of putting in good habits into our lives, and it's not easy. But there's something of the power of it, that we don't have to think about it anymore. Just like we don't think of our bad habits. You know, if you can have a bad habit, why can't we have a good habit? Why can't we choose to have some good things in our lives where we say, this is a good habit for, you know, our life? You know, this is the year where we said it's the year of the Bible. And here's another, and we want everybody to read more of the Bible this year than they did any other year. But here's the thing about what you do every day. So it's not about, okay, I'm going to like start and I'm going to read the Bible, you know, cover to cover every day. No. Don't do that. Do something. Do something. I heard more, and I was studying a little bit more about habits. I said if you want to like floss your teeth every day, they said that the way to establish that habit, someone said, was to go into your bathroom and floss one tooth and then put it down. Just one tooth. It's more important that you did the one tooth. They said that people who will establish the habit of doing one tooth will end up flossing all their teeth every day. Because they just took a small step. And they did that. And you set the bar low, but consistent. And so there's just that. That was for free. So, for years, I worked into the habit of my life of running almost every day. And I've kind of lost that habit, and I'm trying desperately to get it back. But before I moved to Vancouver, I ran, and I had a very healthy lifestyle. And our kids know the amount I ran, you know, in excess of, you know, probably 60, 70 kilometers a week. But when I had that habit for 7 years before I moved to Toronto, this is how I looked. This is how I looked. So that was at the Chicago Marathon, which I've run 4 times. That says Run Chi. That's Run Chicago when I bought that shirt. So I'm like, I look at that every now and again. Okay, that's my image. That's where I want to get back to, you know, as I'm running. I want to get back to the future right there and see how I can. So you guys, now I've made myself accountable. Now you can say, okay, are you going to do it or are you just going to talk about it? Are you really going to go back to school and practice what you preach or not? Well, I'm definitely going to try, and I'm back in a pretty good flow right now. Okay, let's land this plane. Number 3, know who you are. Know who you are. You know, a few weeks ago, Richard preached a wonderful message, and he talked about the royal family. He talked about how they dress in a certain way because of who they are. We use this image here at a royal wedding. Hey, look at that. So, and he posed the question, you know, why do they dress like that on these occasions? And the answer, of course, is because they are the royal family. They don't put on royal clothes to make themselves the royal family. So in other words, if we grabbed those same clothes and got up here and did a mock photo, there would be no paparazzi going after us. There would be no one flocking, you know. I mean, if you dressed up as Kate, you dressed up as, Prince William, you dressed up as someone. I mean, no one would flock. Even if we had the exact replicas of all those clothes, I don't know who would want to be Queen Elizabeth there with the hat. So, their royalty, they put on clothes not to make themselves royalty. Rather, they are royalty. So they put on royal clothes. In the same way, we respond to the lessons of life that we're calling back to school in a totally different mindset. Because here's what God says about us in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a people for his or God's own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so one of the things I think that we are continually called to go back to school on is once again understanding who we are in Christ and who God has made us. We, folks, wherever you are at with God, God makes no mistakes in creating each and every one of us. God doesn't have any grandkids. He only has kids. And he loves intensely every man, woman, child on the face of this earth. When you walk up and down the streets of Toronto, when you walk up and down across your campus or in a mall or wherever you are, whenever you lock eyes with someone, that is a person that God created. That is a person that God loves. That is a person who God wants to show his love and his glory. And that includes you and that includes me. He calls us royalty. He calls us a new creation in him. And we're a part of his royal family. And so when we talk about the motivation to give it a little extra or establish good habits and things like this, and there's many other lessons in life, it's from a different position. It's from a different place. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Bring them into a new identity. Bring them into a royal family. Bring them into a royal family. That's who you are, folks. That's who you are now. You are a part of a royal family because it's the family of God and he's the king. And Jesus said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Our Jesus is a suffering savior. He's also a reigning king. And as a reigning king, he has a kingdom. And it's a glorious kingdom that will never end. It's growing and it's never going to end. God sent Jesus to be our Savior, and he sent us to be a reigning king, to restore all things. Yes, there's creation, and yes, there's a fall, but there is redemption, and then there is a renewal of all things. And God is on a renewal mission to restore everything back to the way it was, and that is the hope of the gospel. No, not all of it will be seen in our life. Nonetheless, like what Proverbs says, the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until full day. And so our motivation in our going back to school is that perspective. And you know what? One great blessing about having that perspective in our lives is that our focus is first upon Jesus. In other words, one of our problems is that all our inward needs. I heard this little acronym when I first became a Christian at UBC in Vancouver, and it stuck with me. You know, a little bit corny, but I think it's good. Someone said to me that if you really want to keep this outward focus, start with this. If you really want joy, Jesus first. That's J. Jesus first. And then others second. Others second. So we fix our eyes on Jesus first. He's our Savior, our Lord. Then we love God and love others. That's the first commandment, and the second is like it. And then what's the last one? Yourself last. What does that spell? Joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last, and it spells joy. When we talk about our motivation, just think of this. Jesus himself was the reigning king. He was in perfect fellowship, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He had royalty. He had all those things. And what did he do for you and I when he died on the cross? Really what he did is a big substitution. The King of Glory, the King of Kings, went on the place where we should have went. He gave entrance and traded places with us. He said, he deserved to be a king. He was perfect. He was spotless. He's the creator of the world, the King of Kings. But what he did is that king went on a cross and it is a great exchange so that all of us who look now back 2,000 years to what he did on that cross, he can say, I'm laying aside my kingship, my royalty on the cross so that I can give it to you. So that down through the ages, each one of us can now have a new identity in the family of God, in the royal family. It costs something of Jesus. And just like what today we learned about our giving, it's not just our giving, it's everything we do is in view of the wonderful reality of what God has already done for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this season of the year where the summer ends and the fall begins, and it reminds us of school. But let us be reminded that, God, we never cease being learners. We never cease being disciples of you. And God, that our lives would continually be more and more transformed to walk and live in the life that you've called us to. We are grateful for that. And we just pray for our city right now. We pray for the University of Toronto. We pray for the downtown Toronto. We pray for the suburbs. We pray for our city in which you called us. And we pray, God, that the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven in this place. That more and more lives would be transformed. That you would help us be extenders of your kingdom. It's a good kingdom. It's a kingdom that ends poverty. It's a kingdom that ends suffering. It's a kingdom that ends the effects of the fall. We ask, God, that you would use us in our everyday lives to be a part of advancing your glorious kingdom. Help us, Lord, now to be your students and to be your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.